How many of you are excited today? How many of you just feel the excitement of the Lord this morning? Amen. I think you can do a little bit better than that. How many of you feel the excitement of the Lord today? Amen. I mean, God is a good God. Good things are in store for our lives because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we've come to church to celebrate the name of Jesus, to be challenged and inspired to keep following Jesus, to be led in position to receive everything that Jesus has for us. Amen. And I just feel an excitement in the Lord today. An excitement in the Lord. Now, I'm a little tired. I really didn't get to sleep after 3 this morning. Woke up at 6 to get prepped or finish prepping. So I'm a little weary on the physical side of things. But on the spiritual side of things, and I'm not just shooting some air at you. On the spiritual side of things, I feel an excitement of Jesus Christ at Westside Family Fellowship. Amen. Woo. Man, I just get some chicken skin just talking about it. How many of you ready for the word? You ready for the word? So we've been talking about the promised land for a few weeks with a couple week break in between. And I can't get out of this vein right now because number one, the Holy Spirit isn't allowing me to. After I finish one discussion or one talk on the promised land, here comes another one. And after I finish that one, here comes another one. And so for however long the Holy Spirit leads, we're going to continue talking about the promised land, what that meant for Israel, and taking that and applying it to our lives, what it means for us in general, but also specifically what it means for us at Westside Family Fellowship. Now, something that we do know and we've talked about before is that there are seasons for everything. Can we pop up Ecclesiastes 3:1? I don't know if you got my text, Dennis, or not. Good. It says, to everything there is a season. Can you say everything? To everything there is a season. For every activity. Can you say activity? Something very, very important to realize. For every activity under the heavens, it's not up there, but if you was to continue reading the next 7 verses, it says a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. And we'll stop with that one. The point that I'm making this morning is there is a season for everything. And within the perimeter of what the word calls everything, we have 2 specific seasons. We have a season called a wilderness, and we have a season called a promised land. And throughout our journey of faith, we consistently go through these 2 seasons, and they interchange one another, and it becomes a big loop. There's a season that we enter into the wilderness and we go through a process and we go through typically a dry time, a trying time, a transitional time, a difficult time, a time of testing, a time of working, a time of effort, a time that is not necessarily fun. It's not the time that we really get excited about. It's not the time that we praise the Lord about. But nonetheless, it's still a time that we all go through. See, God is a good God. He's a great God. He's wonderful. He's faithful. But he can also be hard. Like all of us children, when it comes to our fathers, for a lot of us, maybe not all of us, but for a lot of us, we can say that our father was good. Our father was loving. Our father was kind. Our father was generous. But at the same time, there was the other side of the coin. How many of you ever witnessed the other side of the coin when it come to your father? When in a split second, that loving, kind, gentle father can turn hard, can turn into enforcement, can turn into an agent of discipline, an agent of servitude. And God is the same way. Yes, we praise about God being a loving God. Yes, we praise about God being a good God. But at the same time, we also have to realize and have to know that God is also a hard God. And because he is a hard God, he just doesn't allow us to pass on our journey of faith in just a very easy, tranquil, nice journey. But he allows us and he even causes us to go through seasons that are difficult, that are hard, that stretch us, that bend us, that break us. But it's not because he's a mean God. It's not because he doesn't love us. It's not because he just has a penchant for pain. No, in all reality, it's because he loves us and he knows what each and every one of us need in order to get to the next level of blessing. You know, there's a saying, and we all know it, and it truly is true, no pain, no pain. It's that way in life. It's that way at work. It's that way in finances. It's that way in physical activity. It's that way in sports. And it's that way in spirituality. Without the season of suffering, we would not be able to enter into a season of pleasure or blessing. And we find this happening as a loop on our journey of faith. Struggling for a period of time, and then all of a sudden, it's eased up. We find ourselves blessed. We find ourselves favored. We find ourselves enjoying life. We find ourselves happy. We find ourselves at peace. It just seems like God is just doing things that we didn't even ask him to do, and he's doing it. And that happens for a time, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we begin to find ourselves through a process entering into another dry spell. Sometimes dry spells can be months. Sometimes they can be years. Sometimes the promised land or the promised experience, the season, can be months. Sometimes it can be years. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Can you give me a witness? Right? It happens. But there is always specific reasons that God allows us to consistently, through our journey of faith, face the wilderness season and the promised land season. And so here at Westside, I think it's safe to say, and a high majority of people that I've talked to agrees, that over the last couple few years, as a body, we've been in a wilderness. We've been stretched. We've been struggling. We've had some hardships. We've had some difficulties. It's as if God just gave us a kick in a specific direction, and there is no choice whatsoever. But then over the last few weeks, what I've been sensing in my spirit and what I'm hearing from other followers of Christ here in our family is that we just sense that God is doing something good. We just sense that increase is on the horizon. We just sense that blessing is coming our way. And I've talked with people and they've been saying, I don't know what it is. I can't put a finger on it. I can't really describe it. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I just got a gut feeling. I just got a spiritual feeling. I just got something inside of me that says we are headed up. We are headed out. We are headed into good. God is departing the waters and there's good things happening. Once again, at Westside. Now, that is not because of an individual, right? It's not because of one man. It's not because of one name. No, it's because the season is changing. It's because God has made a choice to create a transition from a hard, dry season
into a fruitful, blessed, peaceful, restful, and prosperous season for us here at Westside Family Fellowship. What's unique about being a part of a church when you're really a part? Now, I'm not talking about trampoline churchgoers. You guys know what a trampoline churchgoer is? Bouncing from here, bouncing from there, bouncing in the church one day, bouncing out of the church the next day. Bouncing in the church one day, bouncing out of the church the next day. Watch out, I'm 42 years old and I can still jump like that. Do it while I can. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not talking about trampoline Christians, trampoline churchgoers. No, I'm talking about there's a very unique dynamic that occurs when we find ourselves, when we make the choice to be locked into a body of Christ. And we're in that body thick or thin. We're in that body until God says, I want you to go somewhere else. I got another work for you. And that does happen, right? And there is no problem with that. It's just the way it goes. But when we are locked in, what begins to happen is when a church begins to transition into a specific season, the individuals that make up that body begin to transition into that season too. See, God is all about groups. God is all about peoples. He defines people in Scripture as nations. And what you see when it comes to various groups of people, that when God blessed the overall group, the individuals in the group was blessed as well. But there's the other side of the coin as well. When God chooses to take the group into the wilderness, the individual member also experiences a wilderness at the same time. And it's very interesting, it's very unique. And if you really begin to just kind of examine life, look at your history, and begin to look at the ups and downs of the body that you're connected to, you'll begin to realize, you know what, the church went through that, and then I begin to go through this. The church began to get blessed, and then, man, I begin to get blessed in this. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't struggle and you don't have issues when the church is being blessed, or it doesn't mean that things are going good when the church begins to struggle. But there is a connection between the various seasons of a body of Christ and the individuals that makes up that body. Am I making sense this morning? And the reason I'm saying that is to say this. Westside is entering into a promised land. So what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for your family? What does that mean for your marriage? What does that mean for your job? What that means is you're entering into a promised land too. See, I get excited about the church going into the promised land, going into a promised land, but I also get excited about me and my family going into a promised land too. I get excited about Westside going into a promised land, but I get just as excited about each and every one of you going into a promised land also. See, I get excited about you being blessed. I get excited about you being touched by God. I get excited about things turning around for you. I get excited about your marriage being strong and your family being solid. I get excited about you chasing dreams and seeing God just unravel those dreams or bless you with those dreams, because it's your season and it's your time. And I want to encourage your heart this morning. I want to encourage your mind this morning. Yes, West Side is coming out of the valley, and yes, West Side is going into a promised land. But at the same time, if you would just hear the word of the Lord, if you would follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you would just trust God and believe with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, you can find your own self walking into your own promised land. Your marriage can be in a promised land. Your family can be in a promised land. Your life can be in a promised land for this season. Amen? Give somebody a high five and say, it's time to get into that promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a warning. Was that you, Barbara? I love your honesty. She thinks out loud and more. Ain't that right, Jim? Pray for her. You're getting baptized tonight, brother. That'll just give you some more power, okay? Here's the warning. This season will pass. So take advantage of it now. You get it? This season will pass. So take advantage of it now. You can study Scripture and you can find times in Scripture. And now this kind of sounds very spiritual, but it's true. In Scripture, you find moments and times when there was an open heaven. It's like God just opened the gates of heaven, symbolic gates of heaven. And when those gates was open, and it's metaphorical, there was just blessing. There was opportunity. It was God just pouring out. But there was seasons when God created a shift. He created a change. And he began to close those gates. And then, once again, there started a season of struggle. A season of sowing. It's just the way it goes. A season of sowing and a season of reaping. So, let's get on board with one another. And let's make sure we take advantage of what God is doing in our church and what God is doing in our life today. Amen? Let me read to you Joshua 1:1-3. I've already read this to you, but I'm kind of building off of it. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, let me hit the pause button a second. When I was going over my notes up in the office before church, something just kind of popped out to me. There, the latter part of verse 3, it says, your foot will tread upon, I have given you. This is a past tense statement, but yet not a current circumstance. Does that make sense? So it was a past statement made by God, but yet it was not a current reality for his children. So with that being said, what this area of Scripture shows us is whatever God promises you is already yours. Whatever God has declared as yours, it's yours. He has already set up. He has already created the scene that needs to happen. All that you and I have to do is be faithful in every season, follow Jesus in every season, be obedient unto God, and through his Spirit, he will lead us in the right season and at the right time to be able to possess what is already ours. Amen? It's yours. It's already, God has already done it. But there's three things I really want us to talk about, and it really represents what the promised land is about. So I can talk to you about going into your promised land, possessing your promised land, being blessed by the promised land itself, and we can still ask the question, well, what does that even really mean? What am I supposed to do? What is supposed to happen in all this? And there's three distinct things as far as what it's really about. Number one, it's about position. Number two, it's about work. And number three, it's about the future. So let me just, for a few moments, let me just break these down. So the promised land is about position. Can you say that, please? The promised land is about position. So before we apply it to our life, let's see how it applied to Israel's life. As Israel began to enter into the promised land, God positioned them in a very unique way for very specific reasons. Number one is they was positioned to have a powerful, great name. So what we do know is that they stood on the opposite side of the Jordan that the promised land was on. And then as the priests entered into the flooded river, the waters was pushed back. The waters was pushed back so far that other people, that other groups, other communities begin to recognize what was taking effect. And as Israel began to cross into the promised land, their name was already established. They was positioned for a great name. And we know in Scripture, names mean everything. A name can mean failure. It can mean success. A name can represent weakness. A name can represent strength. A name can represent respect. Or a name can represent that you're a nobody. And so for Israel, God immediately positioned them to have a great name, to have great respect, to have great strength, and to have a great connection with a great God. So they was positioned in a very unique way because all the people along the Jordan, or the people along the Jordan as far as in that vicinity, knew of the name of Israel. See, God positioned them for a great name. Another thing, God positioned them for change and healing. So they went over the Jordan. They entered into Gilgal. They took rest at Gilgal. The men that was brought up in the wilderness had to be circumcised because it was an act of cleanliness for the children of God in the Old Testament. But yet after that experience, they was weak and they had to go through a process of healing. And we know that certain changes creates certain effects of pain and hurtfulness. And when God initiates pain in our life, He also always initiates a position of healing. Let me say that to you again. I think that rings a bell with somebody. God might force you into a season of pain that you did not ask for. But at the same time, when that season is over with, God will also force you into a season of rest where you can be restored, healed, and gain back everything you lost. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Take that. Take that. So Israel was positioned for this, change and healing. Israel was positioned for favor at Jericho. The two spies went up, you know the story. There was the harlot, Rahab, and they had favor with that harlot. They would have died. They would have been busted. Jericho's men would have caught them. But it was Rahab that hid them. And it was Rahab that made a deal with them, that was a deal with God. They were given favor. They was given a position of favor. So what does that mean to us? What it means to us is when we legitimately enter into a season of open heaven gates and a season of the promised land, God positions us for favor. God positions us for opportunity, and God positions us for increase. You can bank on it. If you're faithful to God and you follow the leading of the Lord, and throughout your journey of faith, throughout your life, when you are in the season that we're talking about this morning, He will put opportunity in front of you. And it will be a good opportunity. An opportunity for growth, an opportunity for change. It can be an opportunity for health. It can be an opportunity for freedom. It can be an opportunity for more finances. It can be an opportunity of your family being restored. It can be an opportunity of you finding that perfect someone. It can be an opportunity of someone that hates you all of a sudden has a change of heart and now they like you. Opportunity. Israel was given opportunity. And as I'm speaking this, I'm thinking of various ones of you that over the last few months, there has been opportunity that has just been laid into your lap. That opportunity is not coincidence. That opportunity is not happen chance. That opportunity is directly from God, and it's a part of the promised land season that we all are in. And I would encourage you, if an opportunity is being placed in your lap, you don't know where it came from, you don't know how it happened, but you got a gut feeling it was from God, for you to take advantage of that, and for you to embrace that opportunity, and for you to allow that opportunity to bless you, because it's God's way of wanting to hook you up in this season. Amen. Favor. It's one thing to have favor with God. It's another thing to have favor with man. Now, we don't always get favor with man, because truth be told, some men or women just don't like us, right? I mean, it don't matter what, don't matter how you look, how you sound, what you do, there's just going to be some joker out there that just don't like you. Right? It just don't matter. But with that being said, there's also going to be people that God just gives you favor with. There's just going to be people that just opens doors for you, that just blesses you, that just loves on you, that just takes care of you, that just gives you that red carpet treatment. Amen? And it's just a byproduct of being in a season of the promised land. Increase, another, the promised land is about a position of increase. Increase. I believe with all my heart, God doesn't want us to live out our journey of faith with the experience of lack. Can I get a right on? It's just not scriptural. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that everybody's, you know, going to be filthy, stinking rich or anything like that. That's far from what I'm saying. But what I am saying that it is God's way of providing for His children. It's one of His love languages. It's one of His expressions. And it just so happens that when we find ourselves in a season of His promises, increase just begins to come our way. It may not always be finances, but it can be finances. The second thing that the promised land is about work. Can you say work? And work is not a bad four-letter word. All right? Now, some of you might be thinking, you don't go to my work every day, preacher. God established and created work from the very beginning. He placed work upon Adam when Adam was living in paradise. The reason sometimes work is a byword to people
It's because not only is work a blessing, but there is an associated curse with work also. Because it's one of the ways that God put judgment upon Adam, that he would toil, he would labor just to be able to live. It's called the curse of work. Now, that's another topic and another talk altogether. But just to give you a quick freebie, in my heart, I believe that God initiates hard work. But I believe the type of work that creates misery, pain, and sorrow is the type of work that's under the curse. But through Jesus Christ, we can enter into a fulfilling work. We can enter into a work that is content, that we find contentment in. We can enter into a work that we are blessed by. We can enter into a work that, yes, it's hard, and yes, sometimes we don't feel like doing it. Yes, we have to sweat over it or whatever, but at the day's end, we can go to bed at night and rise in the morning feeling good about our work. See, that's a blessing, not a curse. Amen? Now, let me get back on track. See, in the wilderness, God worked for Israel for the most part. Sure, there was things that Israel had to do, but for the most part, God led them by a cloud during the day and by a fire at night. Every morning they woke up, guess what? Their food was right before them. The Bible says that for 40 years, their sandals did not even wear out. Water came out of a rock. Even supernatural ability to just overtake various enemies and issues in the wilderness. But when the promised land, when they entered into the promised land, it changed. The cloud stopped. The fire by night stopped. The manna in the morning stopped. The Bible don't say it, but I believe it, that their sandals began to get wore out. So when they entered into the promised land, even though it was the promised land and it was a land of blessings, it was also a land of work. A land, in other words, that they had to reap. See, the Bible is all about reaping and sowing. So we sow one season and we reap the next season. A season of rest, in all reality, is not a season of not working. We always work. Always. Because there's always things to tend to. Right? It's just what makes life go around. It was that way in the Garden of Eden. It's that way right now. So you look at Israel. They had to work to possess the land. They had to reap what was sowed in order to inherit the promise. They had to do what God told them to do. They had to march around Jericho. They had to fight. They had to battle. They had to work. See, not working and expecting God to do everything for us in our reality is a wilderness mindset. And it's a mindset that stops us from being prosperous. And there's a sad teaching and there's a sad thought within the body of Christ that says all we have to do is give to God and then he will supernaturally bless us, and there's a minimal amount that we have to do with our hands and our feet and our mind and all that types of stuff. But truth be told, when we enter into the promised land, we cannot go into the promised land with the mindset that, hey, we don't have to do anything. Are you breathing this morning? You ain't going to pass out on me, are you? I mean, God, it would be nice if we did not have to work. Wouldn't it be nice if people would just come in the church and we didn't have to invite them? Wouldn't it be nice if they just had the money to go buy their own shoes and we wouldn't have to fork out a couple $1,000s for shoes? It would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice if I didn't have to worry about preparing a message. It would be nice if I didn't have to worry about the air conditions. It would be nice if I didn't have to just say, okay, I'm just going to chill, sit, and just hang with people and have a good time every day of the week and not worry about the brokenness and the issues and the hardships and the problems. But that's not what life is about. Life is about work.
And God calls us to work. And God gives us to work. And God blesses us to work. But the difference between working in the wilderness and the working in the promised land is the increase and the blessings and the joy and the victory and the goodness of God that comes from our hands when we work in the promised land. Amen? All of us can relate to times in our life when we worked our hands to the bone and we just did not have anything. We didn't see any results. Whether that be physical work on a job or even in ministry, there's been seasons when me and LaRonna, we labored in ministry positions and we saw very, very little increase. Very little increase. And it was a struggle, and we got burnt out, and we got tired, and we wanted to quit, but we didn't quit. And then we found ourselves entering into seasons to where God began to move through the labor. God began to move through the efforts. God began to move through the prayers. God began to move through the preaching. And working in the promised land is a blessing, and it brings peace, and it brings joy, as opposed to the wilderness. And I want to put a charge on every single one of us here at Westside. It is not a season to sit down and sit back and just watch what's occurring and watch what's changing. But this is the season to recognize the position that God is putting us in and then say, God, I want to work for you. I want to put my hand to the plow. I want to put my feet on the dirt. I want to put my mind into your control. God, I want to do what you've called me to do for the benefit of my community, for the benefit of my church, for the benefit of the people, for the benefit of your kingdom. Lord, call me and I will work. Amen. Putting faith into action. The Bible speaks of it over and over again. It's all about working, possessing what you're called to possess. It's all about working. And now let me say this, is that every one of us has a specific job to do. It's specific. My work right now in this promised land, it's specific. Your work to do right now is specific, whether you know it or not. Lorana's role right now is specific. Jacob and Jessica's role right now is specific. The councilmen of this church, their role right now is specific. We have specific roles and specific jobs to possess a specific promise. Amen? I ain't screaming too much, Emma. I feel like I'm screaming. Sometimes I just want to get up and just talk calm. You know, guys, we are in a season to work and not rest. Well, thank you, because when I start reading it, when I start talking it, I just can't stay calm. All right, so let's move on. Your clock says 11:30. My clock says 11:40. Which one do I follow? The third one is future. Israel's entry into the promised land was for the future of Israel as well as the current generation that was taking the lead into the promised land. And this is very important. Setting our future generations up for blessing is a part of the mandate for you and I going into our promised lands. Everybody get that, right? My promised land affects my children. Your promised land affects your children, your nephews, your nieces, your grandchildren, the kids that come over to your house that's not your children but act like your children. See, when you really get inside the mind of God, God never operates on just a current generational level. God operates always on a past, present, and future level. So he builds off the past. He flows through the now so that there is establishment for tomorrow. And so our promises, and when we are really getting set up and getting ready to experience the blessings of God, we have to think outside of the here and now. For our church, for our family, for ourselves, the Bible speaks highly. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says a man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Provision for that family is not just for the here and now. The provision for that family is for tomorrow. Provision for that family is not just monetarily. It can be, but it's not always the case. Provision for the family can be spiritual. It can be opportunity. It can be business. It can be just living right. Am I making sense this morning? So we have to realize and know that when we are entering into a season of blessing and entering into a season of increase, that we have to be cognizant of our replacements. The future generation. What does God want you and I to possess right now for the next generation? What does God want you and I to do right now that is going to benefit our kids for tomorrow? As a church and as an individual. See, we've immediately initiated progress with our student ministries here at Westside. It was an immediate progression. So we got the youth center that is being completed, which the second half of the annex down there is going to be turned into like a youth student ministry cafe / coffee shop that will accommodate them, their activities, and allow there to be function that will bring people from the community into Westside. Our upstairs, except for a couple of the offices, I think three offices, is being transformed into a children's center. When you walk upstairs, you're not going to think professional church. You're going to think, wow, kids, children. They love our children. They love our kids. We are progressing to embrace raising our children and raising our students up to be the next generation of followers for Jesus Christ. Amen? Our leadership. That's good. Our leadership is praying and seeking God, is going over things in their head, is making plans for Westside to have an amazing and powerful, life-altering student ministry that hopefully would change the face of Wasco and Shafter, California. Amen? And I'm absolutely excited about it. I'm full-on stoked. I cannot wait for us to get that going. So in my closing, what is the position that God has for you now? What is the job that God has for you now? What does God want you to possess for the next generation? Does God want you to possess freedom? Maybe you need freedom. Freedom from some type of addiction. Freedom from emotional dysfunction. Freedom from a wilderness mindset or a poverty mindset. Freedom from generational curses that was passed on to you through your parents, grandparents, and great-grands, and so on. Freedom from a seed that was planted in you, from your past that has created certain actions and choices and mindsets that you can't shake. What is for you now? What does God want you to possess now? Because if you and I are not free, then it's going to affect our children and our grandchildren. Does God want you to possess more money now? Because let's face it, money is what makes the world go around. You can't take your family to Disneyland without at least $600 or $700. It's over $100 a ticket. And then, Jesus, the food is $20 a plate or more. You know what I'm saying? You can't put the nice, cool threads on your kids without money. You can't take your wife on a date. Or wives, you can't take your husband on a date without money. You can't take that fishing trip. You can't go ride motorcycles. You can't pursue the personal, pleasurable dreams that you have in your heart that is absolutely okay with God. Maybe God wants you to possess more money in the promised land. Do you need a better name? Maybe you have a charred past. Maybe you have a bad background. And maybe your promised land is having a new name. And you need to possess a new name, not only for your status, but for the status of your family. Maybe you need to possess righteousness. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've been slack on. Maybe you're pushing the bottle too much. Maybe you're saying things you shouldn't say. Maybe you're looking at things you shouldn't look at. God forbid, maybe you're touching people you shouldn't touch. Yeah, you come to church. Yes, you're a Christian, but there's a little bit of unrighteousness that you've allowed to govern your heart and to govern your mind. This season can be a season of change for you if you would allow God to penetrate your heart and penetrate your mind and allow God to take you into the totality of the promised land. Praise the Lord. I feel that one. Now is the time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Not next week, next month. Not in 2018.